You ever laughed once in a public space because you're listening to this podcast? Write into the show and tell us.
If you haven't, do it right now.
Yeah, you're in a public space listening to this on your earphones. Write into the show and tell us.
Just do that. See what happens.
Do you think that bit was stupid? Write into the show and tell us. Just talk to us, we're lonely.
So, from Dwatg, or the Don't Worry About the Government podcast, we've got A New Year to Remember.
Oh, A New Year to Remember. I mean, yeah.
That's a title.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That what? Could actually exist.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those films. You know those American movies that come out that kind of try to replicate what Love Actually is?
Yeah. There's one that's New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day. And I think it's Mother's Day as well.
Yeah.
That was like that.
Came out at the wrong time, yeah. Famously, in the UK.
Oh, yeah, because Mother's Day is like.
Months a few after us. Yeah. Like, oh, all right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm over it, but thanks.
Nobody at distribution bothered to check.
Yeah.
I mean, the film hadn't been finished by the time Mother's Day rolled around in our country.
Well, leave it a fucking year then.
I was about to say, by the time it would have been like streamed on online and stuff, I was like, no one's streaming Mother's Day online. No. Like, no one's
looking for
the
it.
The whole like business premise of that film was that we'll sell tickets to people taking their mum to go and see Mother's Day, right?
Yeah.
Hey. Guess what people aren't doing as an event for Mother's Day? Mum, I'll buy you a
cinema ticket.
Pay-per-view. I'll stream Mother's Day with you. I didn't buy you anything, but at least I've got Netflix to stream Mother's Day.
Oh my god, that's the we're streaming Mother's Day on Netflix, Mum. That's your present.
I mean, I technically pay for it, so it counts.
You're on one of my extra screens.
Yes. You're welcome.
Thanks for giving birth to me.
Hey, I didn't ask to be born.
Well, I mean, A New Year to Remember, like, feels to me like it would be... I don't know. This is always me. I always go with the sort of like, it's the last year.
Always the end.
It's always the end.
Yeah.
New Year to Remember. The tagline, you can't remember when you're dead.
Okay. No,
you'll
no,
only
no.
remember it for a year and then you will all die.
A New Year to Remember. No one. Right. So, New Year's Eve. Mm. 2019, okay?
Make it... No, wait. This is coming out after New Year's Eve. So, yeah. New Year's Eve, 2018.
Okay. New Year's Eve... No, 2019.
All
right? Right.
It's important. It's not important. aside, it's not important. Okay. It's important, all right, guys? So, New Year's Eve 2019, and everyone's real excited for it. It's a bit like the millennium, but just for one decade.
2020, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be 2020. Everyone's got the best vision around.
Woo!
They are going to look to the future with that fine hindsight and go, we shouldn't have done that. And let's not do that again, and everything's going to be better in 2020. And suddenly there's a storm almost seeming to reach around the globe. It's like a solar
flare.
Yeah, it's a solar flare, and it ignites stuff in the atmosphere, and there's lightning everywhere. And everyone's like huddled inside, sort of like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. But we've still got the clinking of glasses and everyone's wearing masks that say 2020. It's like the 2000, glasses, but
everyone's eyes are in the 2 hours.
Yeah, so yeah, it's 20, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like,
they are shit glass.
Yeah, they really
because
are.
Because they're off,
one side.
Sort of leaning, yeah. They're sort of askew.
It's like a snorkel.
Very weighted.
You know, it's a bit like a snorkel. In fact, it is a snorkel. Everyone's diving.
You've got the 2 O's on your eyes, and then a 2 in the middle, and then you've got a 2 on a stick, which you hold up.
It says 202. It says 202, and then it's like. Anyway, a sudden flash of lightning and thunder, and everyone's worried that, like, scientists have been warning that you see it on TV, it's like Shaun of the Dead. Mm. Scientists have warned that there could be dire consequences of the ozone layer in the atmosphere igniting to this strange solar radiation. Mm. I don't know why Bowie was presenting the news just then. The scientists are worried that David Bowie. Hello, scientists have been wondering that somewhere out there there's going to be
a star there waiting in the sky.
There's a solar flare.
It's going to destroy us, so we better run for our lives. There's a star there.
Flare. Star flare.
Star flare. Coming towards
us. David Bowie is talking over the news, and you just catch it in the course of this party, right? Mm. And then someone flips channel, and it's like Jules Holland is like someone flips channel. Jules Holland, like the studio is coming down around them, and all the amplification equipment is sparking, and he's like running out of the studio.
Most exciting hootenanny.
And like all this shit's going on, and then what's really weird is that like. I don't know why I'm doing all these visuals, but like fireworks are being fired up into the air and just being just enveloped by darkness.
What?
They like explode and then just go, and they're just gone.
How do solar flares work?
This is because something's wrong with the atmosphere, right? And then suddenly there's a huge earthquake.
It's not let on what's wrong with the atmosphere. It just turns fireworks into darkness.
It's just not working properly.
Yeah, it's just physics.
It's on the blink.
There's a bit in the film where a scientist goes, "Physics aren't working properly anymore."
So then suddenly, massive earthquake, and the person like it's like you cut to a found footage sort of like. Person who's like going through around the party. Someone call out a fucking.
Is it like?
Actress.
Is it like Cloverfield?
A little bit. No, not the whole film. Like no. It's just we cut to an actress who is at a party, and she's interviewing her friends. Brie Larson. Who's that?
Room. Captain Marvel.
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, I haven't seen either of those things. Because one of them hasn't been made yet. anything else? This person's famous.
She was the singer in Scott Pilgrim.
Doesn't help me.
21 Jump Street.
Nope.
Brie Larson was in 21 Jump Street.
Anyway, listen. I'll just let you go with it.
Short term 12.
I'll let someone else do the lines for her. But she's going around interviewing people, and we'll say that she's an amateur photographer. Mm. And not an amateur. She's a like a semi-professional photographer.
Yeah.
And she's suddenly earthquake. You see the camera fall to the floor, and then blackout, and then suddenly everyone, Brie Larson wakes up, right, in her bed, and the alarm's going off, and it's New Year's Day, 2021.
So she's jumped 2 years.
The whole world has.
Mm.
Everyone is wandering around the streets going, what the hell happened?
And they have to try and
2020?
Remember.
Yeah, it's a new year to remember. The entire year is gone. It's the hangover for the whole world.
Yeah. That was such a long way to
I'm
get
so
to
sorry.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm really tired, everyone. This is going to be a 12-hour day for me.
That's a really good idea for a movie. Well, also, just I think the tagline should be what you said: a hangover for the whole world.
So, like, you sort of she turns the TV on, and for a little while, there's nothing. It's just test card stuff, right? because nobody, everyone's experiencing the same thing. Everyone's woken
nobody
up.
Nobody knows what's going on.
Right? And then suddenly, like, the camera goes on. And then you see there's no one in the chair for the newsroom. And then the guy's like, walks onto frame. Like, David Bowie, I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot David Bowie's a newsreader in this world. David Bowie walked into frame like, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? This is a very strange turn of events.
He was in the opening scene. He was like in a suit, like a regular thing. Comes back on. He's dressed as Ziggy Stardust.
And he doesn't know why.
What's going on?
what's going on? I was on my way to work, but for some reason I was out at a stadium somewhere.
Right. The fact that everyone wakes up. And we automatically know that it's 20. Is there a calendar shown?
There's a fucking calendar. It's on the alarm.
Okay, right. Does it say on, like, computers and stuff?
Yeah.
Right, cool. Because I was just like, people could wake up the next day and be like, oh, it's a new year. And, like, because time, measured time, is a man-made concept.
But you've got...
We could wake up, right, on the first day of 2018 and go, it's 2019 this year. So, we could all collectively just it's year one.
There's a new president, and that president does not have a fucking clue why he's in office.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's sort of like this person rose to power with such popularity, but like there are no real, because everything's like the internet and stuff, everyone's sort of like checking Wikipedia and nobody's sure it's true.
Everyone's getting really good vibes from him. Like,
but he's like, I never even considered running for office.
He was just like a builder.
Yeah, exactly. He was actually a builder.
It's what's his name? Mark Addy.
Yes.
He's dressed like a builder for most of the film.
Here's the weird thing. He didn't have American citizenship before. They'd amended the Constitution to not have to be born there to become
He's a builder from North Yorkshire who wakes up that morning in the White House.
Yeah. And nobody's
with his
sure.
wife, Brie Larson.
Oh, what, Brie Larson?
I've got to link it to Brie Larson. Okay. His wife, Brie Larson.
So sometime during the year, she's married the president.
Yeah. And, like,
I kind of feel like I've got... We shouldn't have her in the White House. I think she should be outside.
She should be a reporter.
Well, that's the thing. She should
photographer.
Yeah. Like,
I thought she was an act. Oh no, maybe we were just talking about naming actresses. Yeah.
I think we've upped the scale.
She's the best. She's the person possibly with the best record of events.
She's got a dark room that's filled with photos of the whole year,
and it's so strange.
She's trying to put together all this piece. I think Mark Addy as president should be just a little vignette that
little
we see, like that doesn't ever come. I think we've just got little bits of pieces and stuff like that, like someone.
Well, I think there should be like some political tensions, right? And it seemed like it was leaning one way. So, for instance, right, everyone was like hated. There was a real tension between whether or not universal healthcare should be a thing in America, right? Mm. And on the one side, it looked like everyone was going to go like no universal healthcare for anyone, right? Mm. And then we wake up and there is universal healthcare for everyone because of Mark Addy,
yeah,
right? Now we've all rewound, so the public opinion is still on there shouldn't be any universal healthcare. All the laws, there's loads of universal healthcare, and there are loads of people who are doctors that just like
this is a really like good film in the sense that we get the themes of so much can happen in a year that when you look back on it you're like, I was a completely different person back at the beginning of this year.
Yes,
like that is a very relatable experience.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
This is a really good idea for a movie.
We have to.
No, it's too good.
We need to stop right
some
here.
Weird needs to happen. Giant rats.
Somehow, there are also giant rats somehow, roaming the countryside.
Somehow we need to
with laser eyes.
somehow we need to tie those themes into, like, the idea of so much can happen in a year, which is sort of like what Sliding Doors is about. Isn't it?
No.
No?
Have you seen Sliding Doors, Matt?
Yeah, I've seen Sliding Doors. It's just, I just saw it when it came out in the 90s. Yeah. So, like, you know. So,
Sliding Doors is parallel universes.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
It's
so
a
much
sci-fi
can happen
movie,
that's
but not a
different.
Sci-fi. Yeah,
right?
I guess, yeah.
You know, if I took this pill, then this would happen, then I took this pill, yeah, whatever. So it's kind of like, yeah, I changed so much from there to here from those two things, right? I feel like we need to try to figure out what the good and the bad is in this situation, what the story this film is going to try and tell is. Because at the moment, we've just got a cool concept and no through line.
Doesn't need one. It's an honourable mention. I think we should just leave it at that.
Okay.
Because it's we've pitched it there.
Yeah.
People's imaginations can go mental.
Well, you can cut what I was saying there then and just say, yeah, I think it's just it's Brie Larson trying to figure out what happened over the course of the year, and there are riots and all sorts of shit's going off.
Yeah.
And there you are. That's like
her and Mark Addy have to save the world.
Yeah, it's like it's almost a bit of a 28 Days Later, you know, that sort of like a series of traumatic events that just happen. There's no real good or bad. People just stuff just happens to people, and they get through it, and then we leave it on a bleak note potentially.
It is that guy from 28 Days Later and Day of the Triffids who wakes up.
Yeah,
after a
invasion
or whatever.
But it's the whole world.
It's everyone in the world has to collaboratively come together to figure out what happened.
It's like, have you seen Flash Forward?
No.
So basically, a series in which at some point there's an event and everyone sees. I think it's like a few weeks into their future.
Okay. Oh, yes. Oh.
Everyone has a flashback, but forward, right? So you get all these like things where everyone's seeing their future, and some people have seen like that they've divorced their partner, and now they're in the awkward situation of knowing that they're going to be divorced from their partner.
It's what's it called? Predeterminism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people like see nothing and now they're like scared as hell. And there's, it's not a very good movie. It's not a very good series, but it was a good idea.
Mm.
This, hopefully, it'd be a better film. But anyway, let's move on to the next one.
Universal Studios, if you're listening.
We kind of know how to write this. You know, Hollywood's missing a trick with Jeff Goldblum, by the way. Why hasn't he ever been cast as a cat?
He's been cast as a fly, I guess.
Yeah. He's never been cast as a cat, though, right? Like a sexy, sexy cat.
Mm.
Because
I
feel
so.
Like Jeff Goldblum should be, like, he should have been the Cheshire Cat in the reboot of Alice.
And not Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
Stephen Fry's still good.
Put Stephen Fry in a different role.
Yeah.
I don't care. King of Hearts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm going to go through all these. Right. I'm just going to list all these because it's an epic. How many parts? I think about 5-6 parts, maybe. He's given. Conor Lavelle has given us Matt and Tom Kill the Moon.
Oh my god.
In which. And then these are all out of order on my Facebook feed. So he's like, Matt and Tom Kill the Moon 2, Strike Force, but Strike spelt with S, with the umlaut, Strike Force. Matt and Tom Kill the Moon 3, Moons Over Miami. I'm imagining us in sunglasses on a speedboat.
Like, how do you think, in this series, how do you think we've killed the moon?
I don't know.
Do you feel like we've lampooned it to death with movie pitches? Like, do you feel like we have made so many movies where the moon is the bad guy that
NASA
has taken it seriously?
It's not the moon is the bad guy, it's the kid fishing from the moon that we hate.
Oh,
that pretentious
fuck. Okay, yeah, but all right, but that we've made so many movies in this alternate universe where we actually make these movies.
Yeah.
We've made so many, we are so ingrained in Hollywood, we've made so much propaganda saying that there's a boy in the moon and he needs dead.
NASA have started to believe us.
NASA taking it seriously.
There's an entire generation of scientists that believe now there's a boy in the
moon. A boy hiding in the moon, but he only comes out to damage Earth's prospects of getting into space.
I was about to say getting fish.
No, the reason he's got he's incredibly proficient with that fishing rod. Every time we come close to like cold fusion, finding Bigfoot, discovering life on other planets, discovering interstellar travel.
Right. One of those is not like the other.
Doesn't matter. Proving the existence of ghosts. Every time we nearly catch Jack the Ripper, who's still alive today.
He's immortal.
Yeah. Any unsolved mystery, basically, is basically what is that boy in the moon using his fishing rod to like whisk away the evidence at the last minute. But wait, there's more.
That's the trilogy.
Yep.
And he's given us, I think, like four more. So we've got Matt and Tom Kill the Moon, Demon Tomato Overdrive.
That should be Demon Tomato Overdrive.
He's given us Demon Tomato Overdrive.
Well, I'm telling him right now, it should have been Demon Tomato Overdrive.
And Matt and Tom Kill the Moon, Apocalypse Now.
Eclipse, right. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
It's better when you see it written down. And Matt and Tom Kill the Moon, the Margarella Initiative. He's given us quite a few guests that we've had on the podcast hidden in the...
Maybe trying to figure out who would be on. Hey, Connor. Wrong.
You got it wrong. Our most prolific guest is on.
Who would have shrunk it?
Yeah.
A switch around, swap around, a switcheroo! Our most regular guest in the entire history of the show.
That was Matt and Tom Kill the Moon. Thanks, Connor Lavelle.
Thanks, Connor.
For that one.
Connor, very upset at the prospects earlier this week that I might have insulted Kelly Marie Tran in...
Yeah, he saw the poster for our film, the last Christmas film we did.
And he was like, leave Kelly Marie Tran alone, Turner. She's great. And I'm like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Listen to the episode, Connor, before you make snap judgments on how we treat Kelly Marie Tran.
Yeah.
We have nothing but good things to say about her in that episode as well.
I like Connor. Connor's a fun time. Like, I've spoken to clowns. I've been like, do you want a cup of...
I've spoken to clowns.
At least two. Right.
I've been to a clown convention.
I've spoken like adult to adult to at least two clowns. Right.
Yeah.
Not like while they were performing. Not like...
Yeah, yeah, just out of makeup.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, one of them was in makeup because they were doing a child's birthday party at the time, but they came like into the back and sort of, you know, were just like...
This is a story I've never heard before.
Here you are. Here's a mug of my face. Terrifying. Like, for instance, did you know that clowns, when they... Dog. That clowns, when they... start clowning, and that is the verb.
Okay.
When they start clowning, they make their own face. They've designed their own makeup, and every makeup is unique.
It's like trademarked.
So, yeah, and well, it is because they to the association. I can't remember what it's called. It's like the Clown Association, essentially.
Yeah.
They send, and I'm not joking here, an egg with their face painted onto it. And I don't think it's like an actual egg. I think it's like a something because they'd stay. Because basically, they paint their face onto it, and that is their face then trademarked.
Right. I just love the idea of someone who runs the Clown Association living in a home with a shelf.
Yeah.
Full of they eggs all go with onto, clown
they
faces
all go
on.
Into the same shelf.
Wow!
So that you can tell. And,
it's a load of egg. Oh,
and here's the thing, right?
Has a new clown been indoctrinated? Gonna get a new egg cup.
Indoctrinated is right, I think.
For the collection.
Because it seems like clowns take clowning far more seriously than you'd think.
Right.
How many variations, we
can,
surely?
We can save all this really good clown knowledge for the film. The title tonight given to us... Tonight! You could be listening to this at any point.
Tonight. It is definitely the night.
Yes.
Tonight on the show, ladies and gentlemen, Katie Lidster joins us to pitch... Final Night for Clowns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was very good. You could be a continuity announcer.
I wish.
So from Rhys Hines, we've got Faster Than a Sloth, a Superhero Origin. I mean, sloths aren't that fast.
They are,
but
slow.
When they get in the water, fuck. Those arms are built for swimming.
No, they're
what?
Not.
Yeah, they are.
Are they?
They can go like 60 mile an hour.
Swimming. No.
That isn't true.
Yeah.
That isn't true.
No, it is.
I don't believe you.
Breaststroke or?
Like.
Front crawl.
Crawl. Just like.
They're like wind up action. They're like that swimming wind up action man, right? Like they sort of like have arms at opposed sides, right?
Oh my God.
That look like they're hanging off stuff, right?
Yeah.
But what they do is. All that time that they're spending hanging off stuff. You know how they like put one over the other and one over the other and arm over arm, you know, hand over hand, they're climbing. What they're actually doing is winding themselves up. So like they're like putting one back, other arm up, and then it's wound up and they go round and round in circles, winding those arms up until eventually they get into the water, and that's all that like elastic energy in their arms is just released, and their arms just spit helicopter as fast as humanly possible, or as slothily possible.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure sloths, maybe not 60 miles an hour, maybe I was exaggerating, because I just realised how fast
that
60
is
miles an
very
hour
fast.
Is.
Insane
speed.
Like quite fast though.
I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
To be honest. Anyway, carry on.
I wasn't base going. Going anywhere with that.
Please,
just,
like,
just saying
please.
How fast just lost.
Just saying how, like, yeah, how.
Please base your film around this weird facts about a sloth that you think you know.
I've not got a film idea. I'm just,
okay.
I just have a sloth fact for you.
Well, there
That's
we go.
A sloth fact. Faster Than a Sloth, a Superhero Origin.
Okay, now I think maybe I have something for it.
Yeah? Katie, have you got anything?
Is that a superhero name?
Faster Than a Sloth.
Faster Than a Sloth.
It's like
an
Dances
origin
with Wolves.
Story.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Faster Than a Sloth.
It's catchy.
It's like, yeah. Dances with Wolves. It's like sort of...
He's a Native American,
yeah.
American superhero.
I think we're coming to the point where we're taking the piss out of a naming convention.
Fair enough. I mean, I think it may be a Western parody thing.
Yeah. Still uncomfortable
yeah,
with
yeah.
it. Yeah.
It's there. The idea
basically,
is there.
Basically, it is a superhero film in which the main antagonist is sloths. And, like... And sloths have slowed down. This is the thing. Their secret plan was to create a time warp where everyone else is slower than them. They're not trying to speed themselves up. They're slowing everyone else down. Right? There's one person is immune.
The King Sloth, played by Jeremy Irons, is like, yeah. I'm going to bring the humans down to our level.
Yeah.
Make a time bomb. Slow the earth down.
Because they're all massively resentful of all those, like, creepy sloth memes.
Yeah.
That on the internet.
That's the reason
That's
why.
That's the revenge.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, they're making fun of us.
They're making fun of us.
The movie's like 5 hours long. It takes them a minute to get out one line of dialogue.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you get Jeremy Irons to start monologuing, it's going to take at least half an hour. So you just slow that all that
and,
down.
And Brendan Fraser is the only one unaffected by this time bomb for some convoluted reason.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get into. And I think at the end, it's just him punching a load of sloths.
Just out of trees.
But like... It's in, like, a sort of Zack Snyder slow-mo kind of thing.
And,
so.
And whenever he does it, there's a squeak. Like, it's like he's hit a squeaky toy. Like, you know, sort of...
like, yeah. he's punching him and they're like flipping backwards yeah. as they jump at him. He punches one and it just flips backwards in slow-mo. Yeah, he kings the Jeremy Irons sloth by just throttling it by the neck.
Yeah, you know how like in DC movies, like Zack Snyder DC superhero movies, everything is just all slow-mo.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that. Like, it's all... The whole film is pretty much that. Whenever anything remotely interesting happens, the whole perspective of the film slows down.
The opening of Justice League is just slow-mo to music. Which is like, yeah, it worked for Watchmen, mate. It clearly does not work for this.
Not a lot worked for Watchmen.
No.
And it was that.
That bit is my favourite bit of Watchmen. I turn it off afterwards because it is just downhill from there.
Yeah. Let's move on, shall we?
Let's move on, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. There are as many episodes now as there are Pokemon.
Hey, guess what? I've only been on 149 of them.
Have you?
Yeah. Remember that time I missed one?
Oh, yeah! You know?
Yeah, no, what? It's my 150th episode, it's Matt's 149.
Yeah, I'm always going to be behind. You're never going to take a fucking week off.
Yeah, there was that one me and Mia did.
Yeah.
Which was a pretty good one.
Nah.
I thought, yeah.
No, I'd first be.
You're not in one.
Yeah.
You did it anyway. Matt can't be with us this week.
Yeah, oh, no. Oh, I forgot about that. That's
wow.
incredible.
Yeah. But anyway...
Okay, so from Jeff Beard, we've got Time for Graham.
Time for Graham.
Golden Graham.
Oh, my God.
I've done it. It's going that way. It's a cereal-based movie that we've all been waiting for.
Can it be T-H-Y-M-E?
for Graham. Someone put
time in golden grain. Sorry, just rewind that whole bit.
That sounds awful. Let's go with it.
Yeah, Time for Graham. Golden Grahams, as we all know, is a great breakfast cereal. I can't even remember
still
what they
exists,
taste like.
Right?
Maybe.
Golden Grahams are tasty. They're like flaky, like not like flaky.
Are they like honey flavoured?
Yeah, they're honey flavoured and they like. It's pieces of, like, they were flat, but they were slightly curved.
Were they, like, shreddies, but, like, crunchy nut shreddies?
No.
No.
That is crunchy nut shreddies.
That is honey nut shreddies.
What you're thinking
it?
About is, yeah, your honey nut shreddies, Tom. Like
sparkly shreddies. Sparkly
Golden Grahams.
Square things.
Golden Grahams were, like, flatter than that. They were, like, one solid piece.
Yeah. Where shreddies is a load of...
Wait, no, Golden... No, it's called Wonder with Crisps. Yeah. the Golden Grahams were like they were squares, like proper perfect squares.
Mm.
Man, they were so
going back to Golden Wonder, Matt.
Don't ever go back to Golden Wonder.
It's 24 carats of gold. It's a wonder. No. Golden Wonder.
That's what we said. I'm tired.
Come on.
That's true.
It's our oldest
that's what
bit.
That's what we said 15 years ago.
It's our oldest
no,
bit.
No, more.
More than 15 years old.
17 years ago, I probably would say, is how long ago that was.
Oh my God.
Nearly two decades old, that bit.
Yeah. I can't remember how that little song came about. I think we had Golden Wonder at Kids Club at school.
Yeah, we were at Kids Club. We
made a little jingle about Golden Wonder.
Yeah.
Little Matt and Tom fact for the day.
A bit of history.
This was before I betrayed you by winning the house captaincy
election. This was before the election.
Yeah. We drifted apart after that.
Before the
infamous election.
Oh God, the fucking election, you bastard! Right, Golden Grahams. Someone puts time in a packet of Golden Grahams accidentally. Like it's someone's having time on their sandwich.
No, right, I've got it.
Yeah,
forget time as in the herb.
Yeah,
you know who we haven't heard from in quite a while? Time Computers. Do you know why? They've been making the best computer chip.
Time Computers?
Time Computers. They used to make the computers for PC World. Like it was a brand of computer from way back in from the 90s.
Oh my god! I even remember the font was like a sort of weird Tron font, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh my god!
So they were like they used to make these, you know, CRT monitors, sort of
holy
like
shit. Yeah, yeah,
big, very, very cheap computers. They're the Dell of the 90s.
Oh yeah.
Right. So
Dell was the Dell of the 90s.
Nah.
Late
they weren't
90s.
Really like
time
yeah.
was early night, yeah.
Yeah, and time were a very much lower price level than Dell, right? They were the access level computers,
mm-hmm.
And so but we haven't heard from them for a while. So hey, guess what? Turns out they have been working on one computer chip for the past 20 years. There you go. There it is.
Oh my god! There's the logo for Time Computers.
In conjunction with Time Magazine, right? Time Computers
actually
stops making computers in favor of continuing with their magazine, their technology division, focused on this one huge computer chip that is going to revolutionize
Graham's life.
No, computing,
yeah.
Right? Here's the problem. It's next, the Time Computers lab is next door to a Gordon Graham's factory.
Oh my god! Something gets stuck in the chip.
No, no, Graham. No. The chip gets stuck in a box of Golden Grahams.
Oh my god!
It's the same size as a Golden Graham.
It's like what's it? Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, but there's a microchip.
Well, no, it's like this computer scientist and like a security guard at Time Computers trying to track down without anyone finding out that they've got the world's most powerful computer chip in a bowl of cereal.
Someone's eating it.
Someone accidentally swallows it and becomes an android.
Yeah, yeah, because it's been built to interface with whatever it comes
his
in contact
name
with.
Is Graham and his skin becomes golden.
It's been programmed to interface with whatever. It doesn't have to be a computer. Whatever it comes into contact with, and improve it. It's an AI. It's an AI chip.
The amount of hoops we've had to jump through to get to this point.
Well, yeah.
You need to know what Golden Grahams are.
Yes,
you need to remember what Time Computers was.
Yes, you do. Sorry, and if you're American, it's pronounced Graham.
Golden Graham.
Yeah. So just so you know what we're talking about.
Here comes an android called Golden Graham.
As if anyone's going to hear this pitch.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh god, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Who would you cast in that?
Because Anthony Daniels. And he's just got the C-3PO suit on.
John Boyega, I think, would be like the
security
the,
guard.
I was gonna say the computer scientist, but yeah, we'll go with security guard.
Okay.
And
I forgot there was
what's
a
his name? We got 10 things we hate about him. What's his? Oh god!
10 things we Jason
no.
Sudeikis. Who
no,
do we hate Matt.
No, we don't hate. What we made a film called 10 Things We Hate About Him. The dad from Honey I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh,
Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis. Yeah. Rick Moranis and John Boyega are like legging it through town, like going through supermarkets, like tearing open packs of Golden Grahams. But so that nobody there's also like Intel are looking into they're Intel spies, right?
Yeah,
and so. To make it look like they're not looking for anything in the Golden Grahams, they, like, rip open all the other cereals as well. Just cereal all over the floor. And then these Intel spies come running in with, like, stun guns, and they, like, all slip over, like, Home Alone on the...
I love how the poster could just be, like, a viral marketing poster could be, like, the cereal aisle in a supermarket, which is with cereals all over the floor.
Yeah. And then there's one shiny one.
You got to see it in the middle corner.
There's one that's like got like you know those very perpendicular kind of lines that always come off. You know, if you've got something you've plugged into a computer and then suddenly things light up next to it, like they're like glowing veins, but they're all perpendicular, like Tron. You've plugged me into Tron. Like it, there's something that on the floor and it looks like it's the tiling pattern on the floor, but all the nerds are going to pick it apart. They're going to be like, wait, there's one golden grain on the floor that seems to be making some kind of effect. And from this we can summarize that there's some kind of technological feel, theme to this film.
Anyway, back to my Snoke theory.
Idiots. You were all wrong and I love it. You shits. Stupid shits.
I don't know, they killed, those Snoke theories could still be right.
Stupid star whore.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.